Have you guys got your Bibles? Who has their Bible? Anybody love their Bible? I love my Bible. And if you guys got your Bible, let's turn over to Revelations. Revelations. We're going to... Did everybody say, whoa? I promise I'm not going to talk about end times. I'm not even close to that. I'm all fluff. You guys will see in about 2 seconds. I'm passage the deep doctrine. I'm like, Jesus loves. So we're going to go with that. Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2. And in verse 1 it says this, to the angels of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand. I think he's talking about God. Who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. And you have found them liars. You have persevered. Somebody said persevere. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. These are all good things, right? They all sound like good things. You did good, right? But then it goes on to verse 4. It says this, nevertheless. Oh, Jesus. Oh, glory. It's going to mess us up right quick. Nevertheless, I have this against you. If God has something against you, we should correct it. How about that? Amen. If God comes to me and says, I got this against you, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop that, Jesus. I promise. Amen. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love, your first love. If you guys are taking notes this morning, we're going to title this Love Defined. Love Defined. Nevertheless, you have lost your first love. You still got your Bibles, hopefully you haven't lost them. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Keep that in mind. They lost their first love. In chapter 22 and verse 34, it says this. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, how many know that lawyers, they're also dumb sometimes? They're sometimes dumb. Asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord. Your first love. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love defined. We're going to talk about love this morning because here comes some fluff. I hope you guys like it. Let's talk to Jesus real quick. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, Father. I thank you, Lord, that this isn't just another time of coming to church and going through the motions, Lord. Lord Jesus, I want us to be changed this morning. Lord, I want us to be radically transformed into your image this morning, Jesus. I don't want this just to be another message. I don't want this just to be another Sunday morning service. I don't want just some more worship songs. Lord Jesus, I want your presence in this place. Lord, I want who you are, the person of Jesus. I want you in this place this morning. That lives might be transformed, that hearts might be touched, Jesus. Because only you can do that, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. And everybody said, amen. You know, if you guys don't know me, I've grown up in this church. I love this church. I've been here since I was in kindergarten, I know. And it's funny when I go to different churches and talk with different people, they ask me, how long you been at that church? And when I tell them how long I've been at this church, they are literally blown away. Oh my gosh, you stayed at one place that long? No one's hurt or offended you in that time? Lots of people have hurt and offended me in that time. Many of you. Yeah, Aaron, in the back, you've hurt and offended me. Calling you out across the pulpit. People are blown away. How can you stay in a church that long? But anyways, back to the point. I've been in this church my whole life. I've been here since I actually came here before that. I was here, I'm sure, for like a year of my life, and then we moved and we came back. And In that time, I've had what we call a pretty good childhood. I had an awesome childhood here and amongst you guys and at school and I've just had a good childhood. I'm just a big kid at heart. If you don't know me, I'm just a huge kid at heart. We actually just went and celebrated my niece's third birthday. My little niece Hope, she's amazing. She's literally like one of the cutest kids you'll ever meet in your life. And so we made the excuse that we're gonna go celebrate her birthday, and we went to a bouncy house place. The kids weren't even playing. They're sitting down and stuff. Me and my brothers were like playing in the bouncy house and punching each other in the face. Whoa! We're all hopped up and stuff. This is great. I can't wait to have kids because I'm going to use that excuse all the time. Babe, we need to go to Toys R Us. Kids need some toys. I'm like, this toy is awesome. I'm just a big kid at heart. And one of my favorite childhood memories was actually Disney movies. Anybody remember Disney movies? They were awesome. I love Disney. I love the nostalgia of it. I love this feeling of whenever I watch an old movie, it just brings me right back to my childhood. I watch movies like Lady and the Tramp, Sleeping Beauty. Fox and the Hound was my favorite. I loved Fox and the Hound because, you know, worlds were telling them they couldn't be together, but that didn't matter, right? They were together. Like, I don't care what society says. You're my friend. And they were friends. So I love that. I love those movies. My favorite movie, though, I think is Aladdin. Aladdin was amazing. I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering, splendid. Princess, tell me, when did you last let your heart side. I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under, on a magic carpet ride, a whole new world, a new phantom. I love the feeling of love. I love the feeling of love. And watching these movies, I'm like 3 years old, and I'm like, I can't wait to fall in love. We're going to ride on a carpet? Where do you find those? I don't even know where you get a magic carpet from. But by golly, I'm going to have one. Those feelings, right? You're just like, oh, I love the feeling of love. And you see them, and they go, Aladdin and Princess Jasmine, and they're going around, and they're just, nothing's going to stop them, not even some evil genie sorcerer guy or whatever. They're like, no, you're not going to stop me. I love her. And they have like a cool monkey and that turns into like an elephant and some other stuff. And they always end the Disney movies this way, right? And they lived happily ever after. And you're just like, being married for a couple years, you're like, I want to see Princess Jasmine and Aladdin like 3-4 years down the road. I want to see what love looks like when it's had some time on it. Does Aladdin still love Princess Jasmine when they're comfortable in bed? And Princess Jasmine's like, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you go downstairs and grab me my water bottle? Then Aladdin's like, what's wrong with your legs? Pretty sure you could do it yourself. But no, all we see is we see the beginning stages, right? The first love, what that first looks like. Oh man, I just want to hold their hands. I never want to be away from them. I just, every time they're gone, I just cry myself to sleep and I just can't handle it anymore. And then sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, you just give it a couple years. They'll be gone. I'm like, I got the whole bed to myself. It's rolling around and stuff. I love Disney, but at the same time, I hate it. Because it gave me this false sense of what love looks like, right? This is what love is. You ride around on a carpet, and you have like a magic genie, and you got like some cool stuff, and like you have like this big song and dance. But when the rubber meets the road, you're back at your house, and your wife's asking you to go get the bottle downstairs. You're like, ah! Maybe I don't love you. I love Disney, but it gave me this false reality He gave me this false reality of what love actually looks like, what love truly is. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What is love? It gave me this false sense of reality. This is what love should look like. And then when the Disney moments fade, when you've gone through the seasons of the tests and the trials of life, you're just like, well, maybe I don't love you anymore because I don't have that first feeling of love any longer. Maybe we just fell out of love. I don't know. I don't feel like I did my first love. You know, it goes back in Revelations chapter 2 and verse 4. It talks about, it says, nevertheless, this is what I hold against you. You have lost your first love. That word first is actually the word protos, which means first ranking. A lot of times we think of that first initial love when the dating stage, where you're all like gentleman-like and you're like, oh man, I think about you all the time, and then you write letters. Do kids write letters anymore? I don't think they do. It's all texting. When me and my wife were dating, we would write letters to each other, and she would fold them all cool, like a heart and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, she loves me. And I always said the same thing. I'm in first period class, and I was just thinking about you and who, and how lucky I am to have you. And then I would write her a letter back because I just thought that's what you were supposed to do. And mine was always like three lines, right? You're the best. I love you so much. You're awesome. And I knew the heart. I just went fold, 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 fold. Here you go. You guys should start writing letters. It's way cooler. You could put it in an envelope and everything and hold it forever. But in Revelations chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, you lost your first love. And once again, that first love is not what we think of when we first start going out, when we're holding hands, that first feeling you get when you hold that girl's hand, that first feeling when you have your first kiss, that feeling when you have your first feeling. The first love. This is not something that's a feeling or an emotion, but rather it's a choice. A ranking system is a choice. Who do I put first? You see, my wife, I love her much more today than when we first went out. Do I still get the goosebumps when I hold her hand sometimes? Sometimes. But not like the first love. And a lot of times we think that's what first love is feelings, these emotions. We're at the altar, we're weeping, we're crying. Lord, I found you. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for these emotions. We're looking for these feelings. But it says this, nevertheless, this is what the only thing I hold against you. You lost your first love. You've messed up the ranking. You have messed up who you really, truly love. You say you love me, but you spend more time playing Xbox. I forget I'm not talking to youth, but some of you old guys play Xbox too. I'm sure some of you do. I know John Shear does. I know he plays Xbox. Your kids argue out. Yeah, they do. They say sometimes you won't even let them have the controller. I'm just kidding. First love. It's his first love. Well, you lost your first love. Who do you put number one? Who do you put in front of everybody? You lost your first love. That love, the word love there is the word agape. It's the word for love. It's the word that God describes his love towards us, agape. And a good way to translate that word is to say, a no strings attached love. There's no conditions on this love. You lost your first ranking perfect love. And then he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 22, we just read, it says, what are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. all your understanding, everything that you are, love the Lord with it. And the second is just as great as the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Both times those words are the Greek word agape again. This love that's perfect. This love that has what we call no strings attached. No conditions. It's just love. It's perfect love. You know, in the Greek language, there's four words for love. There's the word eros. It's actually where we derive the word erotic. It's the Greek word that literally means the love that is self-gratifying. Love that you get something out of it. For example, I love McDonald's. It just makes me feel good. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, baby. Oh, baby, baby, baby. I love you, McDonald's. This word eros, it's a self-gratifying love. Another word for love in the Greek language is the word stelo, which is actually a word that you would describe like a mother towards her child, a family love. The way I love, okay, for a good example, my niece Hope, she says she loves me. She doesn't know me. She doesn't know me. She's a horrible judge of character. But she says she loves me. Why? Because I'm her family. It's my family. It's this family love. It's just what you're born into. Another word for love is the Greek word phileo. It's the word that we get the word Philadelphia from. It means brotherly love. Right now we are phileoing each other right now. We just love each other. We're in the church. We love. Phileo. It's this brotherly camaraderie that we go hand in hand together into battle. It's this camaraderie. And then there's the fourth word, which is the word agape. And the word agape, once again, the best way to translate it is the word means no strings attached. There's no conditions. It just means love. It's perfect love. And a lot of times we get the two definitions of love mixed up because in the English language we only have one word for love. I have one word to describe my feelings towards McDonald's and the feelings I have towards my wife. We got one word. You know, translators are baffled in the English language how to even translate this word in the text. All we got is love. This is the only word that we have. I guess it's just going to have to do. And so many times what happens is we get love mixed up inside of ourselves. Because in our Western culture, in our mindset, we just have one word for love. It's just love. I just love. And we get it mixed up. We think that eros is agape. We think when we have these relationships with people that I'm getting something from them, I'm feeling something from them, they're giving me what I need, so I love them in return. That's eros. That is not the word agape. And just for your information, the Greek word eros is not mentioned in Scripture one time in the New Testament. Not once. Not even talking about in a marriage in the sense of relations, you know, sex, that. It's not even mentioned there. It's still the Greek word agape. I think what God's trying to tell us is there's no room in the house of God for selfish lovers. There's no room in our body for people that are just looking for self-gratification. We get it so mixed up, we think that's what love is. I can't even tell you how many, because being in youth ministry, I hear this a lot. I just fell out of love with them. What does that mean? You know, we went to the fair. And, you know, I think he was more preoccupied with that game with the ball and stuff than me. So I just don't love him anymore. You're dumb. You're dumb. What? You won't get it for a while. Because you're dumb. I fell out of love. Let me tell you right now, love in the context of the word, biblically, it's a choice. Love is not a feeling. Love is not this thing where you're just like, oh, I got it. I feel it. I have it. That's not what love is. That's eros. You're getting something from it. Can I just read something to you guys real quick? This is the dictionary version of love. This is what we think love is. It's a profoundly tender, passionate affection for one another. What happens when that affection is gone? You no longer love? These are the top three. That was the first one. The second one is a feeling of warm personal attachment. A feeling. This is what we think love is. We think love is this feeling of warm personal attachment, deep affection. And these are all definitions of eros. But once again, it doesn't say eros once in the New Testament. As Christians, as what we call Christ followers, this is not what we are supposed to be. Number three, it says sexual passion or desire. We think that's what love is. And then all the way down, it's like the second from the bottom of this huge list, it says the affection of God for His creation. We think that love is this feeling, this passionate feeling. Sex, we think sex is love. We think when you hold the hands and you get these goosebumps, that's love. We think when we're hanging out with somebody and we're really jiving with somebody, we think that might be love. But the love that God gives us, that's love too, I guess. Yeah, sure, I guess. We could throw that in there. There's plenty of room. We'll just throw that in there. We think that's what love is. This is what the world thinks love is. But it's not really what truly is love. Can you guys turn over with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? We're going to talk about love this morning. First Corinthians chapter 13. And we're actually going to look one verse ahead of it. It would be 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the last part of 31. It says this. But yet I show you a more excellent way. This morning I want to show you guys a more excellent way. But yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into what we call the famous love chapter. Before this, what's going on is Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. He's writing to them, and just to give you guys a little bit of a biblical understanding of where we're coming at right now, Paul went and established many churches in his ministry. He went to churches like the church of Ephesus. He was there, they believe, 2, 3, 4 weeks, maybe a couple months, somewhere in there. He went to the church of Philippi, a mere couple months as well. All these different churches, he was there a couple weeks to maybe a month, maybe two. The church of Corinth, he was actually there, they believe, upwards of two plus years. This is where they believe he actually stabilized his ministry and he would travel out from here. This was his church. This was his baby. And what's going on is, this is not the first, it says 1 Corinthians, but it's not actually the first letter they wrote to the church of Corinth. You guys can read that in chapter 1. It says, I've written you many letters. And what's going on here is they begin to ask him because he's out, he's doing God's work, he's beginning to build up churches in different areas. And they do what we call, does anybody have kids in here? Do you know when you have kids, they ask you a lot of random questions? You're like, where did that come from? How did that even come up? Where was your thought process on that one, buddy? I don't know. I can tell you. I was over here, and then I went over here, and then they just ask you random questions. And that's kind of what's going on here. In chapter 1 through all the way to 12, they're asking all these random questions. Like, can we sue our brother? Can we do this? Can we do that? And he's beginning to answer all these questions. Yeah, buddy, you can do this. Buddy, don't do that. That's dumb. Don't be dumb. Yeah, you can do that. And then he establishes something. I can give you all these answers, But let me tell you right now, questions will be infinite. You will always have a question in any situation. What's the best way to do this? And he says, I want to show you a more excellent way. Yeah, don't sue your brother. Okay, that's the answer for that question. But let me show you a more excellent way of living. Let me show you a better way to live. Then rather, what can I do in this scenario? What can I do in this situation? Is this too far? I'll have young people come to me. Oh, we're only holding hands. Can we kiss? What do you think? I don't know. No, you can't. Matter of fact, stop holding hands. Anytime you hang out with your grandma. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. Can I tell you something right now? If you have to lie to your parents so you can hang out with your girl, you're too young to have a girlfriend. So here we go. Jesus, help me now. I need you in this place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he begins to start and says, I want to show you a more excellent way. I want to show you the best way to live. It says this, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I have become nothing more than a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Has anybody met an annoying drummer? Thomas, where you at, bro? Thomas! I'm just kidding, you're the best. Even when he's dinking around, I'm just like, Thomas is awesome. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become nothing more than sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith. These sounds like attributes of Christianity, right? Yeah. Gift of prophecy. Yeah. Understanding mysteries. Yeah. The gift of knowledge. And then he just destroys them all. He says, but I have not love. I have nothing. I could have faith so much that I could literally move a mountain and throw it into the sea. If I met somebody that can move a mountain with prayer and throw it into a sea, they are quite spiritual. Jesus is alive. You know, God is here. Why would God want that? I don't know. But we can do it, apparently. Doesn't make any sense. But we can do it. I guess when it's God's will, we'll move him. But have not love, I am nothing. You know, the world thinks love is something. It says right here that even though I have gifts, can I tell you right now, giving gifts is not love. If I come to my wife and I've just been a total jerk, a total turd, and Doogie Howser or whatever, but I'm like, here, baby, here's a gift. You know what she's going to do with that gift? I don't care about the gift. Gifts really don't mean nothing. They have no weight, no value as far as emotions go. Me and my wife, I don't even know if I should share this. I'll share it. Me and my wife, we went out. I don't know. Whatever. Me and my wife, we went out to a pretty nice dinner the last couple days ago. And the place that we went was kind of an upscale place. It was probably like the second best place I've ever eaten, ever. And so we're there, and we're quite young. And everybody else around us is quite old and quite rich. Like stupid rich, right? Like, they're just dropping it like it's nothing. It's like a Friday night for them. Me and my wife were like, let's just go all out and let's share a dessert, you know? Let's just go all out. And they're over here, dude, like, just like cranking like these $25, $30 bottles of wine, not bottles, glasses, like little, like nothing. I'm like, dang, these guys are rich. So these guys next to us, they are like, I shouldn't say how much the bill is. It's going to be astronomical. Like, my mortgage payment is going to be their Friday night dinner bill. You know what I mean? And they begin to quarrel amongst each other. Bad. Like, just straight up fighting, just going crazy. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, let's never be like that, honey. Let's never fight. And it just kind of ingrained into me that money doesn't make you happy. Gifts don't make you happy. I could bless my wife all the time with gifts, but if there's no love behind it, it means nothing. Can I tell you right now, you could serve in the house of God your whole life and do all these great, amazing things for the Lord, but if you have love, it's nothing. Lord, I give you my tithe. Lord, I give you my offerings. Lord, I give you my time. Gifts don't mean anything. God wants your heart. That's what love is. It has nothing to do with gifts. It says, though I might have gifts of prophecy and of knowledge and know all mysteries, if I have not love, I am nothing. Love is not a gift. And in verse 3, it says this, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. He begins to talk about deeds and works and actions. Can I tell you right now, actions aren't love. These are all things that are byproducts of love, but they are not love. I love what one minister said. It becomes no longer a have to, but a want to. You don't have to do it. I want to do it. That's what love is. He even goes as far to say, I give my body to be burned. He's not talking about in theory. He's talking about for real. If I literally give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. There's no value in it. I just burned myself. That would kind of suck. You get up to heaven. You see what I did? Huh? Huh? I know, right? God's like, you just wasted your body. What? Don't do that. So love isn't gifts. Love isn't actions. Love is not emotions. You know, as a teenager, as growing up in the church, I'm beginning to realize slowly but surely that love for my Jesus is no longer an emotion. When I was in my teenage years, I would go to different conferences and I would go to maybe like a summer camp or whatever the deal was. And I would get these things, they're called the Jesus bumps, the goosebumps. You're praising, you feel these bumps. You guys know what I'm talking about? The Jesus bumps. I'm like, oh my Lord, Jesus is here. Proof's in the pudding. Check out those bumps. And so from a young age, that's what I was seeking after as I got in my prayer closet and into worship. I wanted these feelings. I wanted these emotions. I wanted to weep. I wanted to cry. I want to feel it, Jesus. And as I go on, as I mature, as I begin to grow up a little bit more, I realize that that's not Jesus. Those are my emotions. They're just getting connected with it. Jesus is still the same. I might not cry as much as I cry more now, actually, to be candid. I cry all the time. I hate it. I weep like a girl, like, all the time. And sometimes I'm trying hard to control it, but I just can't. Like, I'll worship. And as soon as I see a young person worshiping, I have to literally close my eyes during worship, because as soon as I see them worshiping, oh, God! Oh, they got it! So I have to close my eyes. Love isn't an emotion. I'm beginning to figure this out. I'm beginning to learn. I'm beginning to grow up a little bit more. Slowly but surely. Very slow but surely. And I'm beginning to find out that it has nothing to do with emotions. My love towards my wife, even though emotions are there, me choosing to love my wife, that's a choice. Me choosing to serve the kingdom of God, that's a choice. And then what happens is we begin to live a life where strings are attached. I will serve you, Jesus. And then life happens, and then something happens in your life Why would you let that happen? What that tells me is you have strings attached to your love. There's strings attached. If you did this to me, I no longer love you. Can I tell you right now, that was never agape love. That was always eros. That was never good love. That was a self-seeking love. And it says right here that profits you nothing. And then Paul begins to show what love is. He says, love is long-suffering. It is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself. It does not puff itself up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquities, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Eros love will fail. Stella love can fail. Phileo love can fail. This is the Greek word agape. Real love doesn't fail. True love doesn't fail. Because relationships can be severed. You can maybe not like your parents. Maybe not like your children. Maybe not like your siblings. You begin to cut ties. Love, real love, never actually fails. But it weathers everything. And then it goes on to say, where the tongues will eventually cease, whether it is knowledge, it'll eventually vanish. And I love it when people say, see right there, tongues will cease. According to that, then your knowledge is also vanished. You're dumb. Just want to throw it out there. See right there, it'll eventually cease. According to Scripture, you're dumb. I just wanted to prove you biblically. I'm dumb. This is dumb. I'm sorry. I'm trying to love, and I'm like, you're dumb. But I love you. But I love you. And it goes on in verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I matured, when I finally grew up, when I finally became a man, I put away those childish things. Can I tell you right now, holding grudges, holding unforgiveness in your heart, those are all childish things. I can never forgive them. You don't know what they did to me. I can never let that go. You have no idea what it's burned inside of me. Can I tell you that that's childish then? Because it's really easy to love people that love you. It's really hard to love people that don't love you. It's really hard to love people that even persecute you. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where your true love shows. When I was a child, I thought like a child, I understood as a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, when I grew up, I put away those childish things. I put them away. And then it goes on to say, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then, meaning in the future, we're to see love face to face. We might see it dimly, but we will see it face to face. I shall know just as I also am known. I like it how it words it in the message. It says, we don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting through a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us. Knowing Him directly, just as He knows us. You know, it says the two greatest commandments is to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, everything that you are. But the second is great just like it. Love your neighbor. For me, it's easy to love God. It's easy to love somebody that's perfect. It's hard to love my neighbor sometimes. It's hard. But God, he says, love him. And though right now I might not see them the way God sees them, one day I'll see the way that God sees them. One day I might see them the way that God sees them. Not the way that I see them. Not the way that I portray them. The greatest of these is love. We just got back from a summer camp. I took just a couple kids with us. And the theme of the camp was amazed. Amazed. He's like, I went to the guy that was heading it all up. Was there something particular that you wanted me to preach on? And he told me, just preach on the subject of amazed. How amazed you are by God. And so I begin to pray about it, begin to think about it, begin to go to my word. I'm like, what is so amazing about God? What is so amazing about God? And I had all my Jesus answers. I've grown up in the church. I can give you all. His grace is amazing. His love is amazing. Everything's amazing. But I just begin to think, actually, from a natural standpoint. And I begin to think of how vast the universe is. How big the universe is. They say to get to the next galaxy, we're in a galaxy, they say to get to the next galaxy, if you were traveling at the speed of light, it would take you 2.5 million years to get to the next galaxy, the closest one to us. 2.5 million years going at the speed of light. That's how long it would take you to get to the next galaxy. And as time progresses, as time goes on, they begin to change how many galaxies they believe there are. They started out saying maybe a couple million, maybe 1.5. As of recently, and they're going to get bigger cameras and they're going to even count more. As of recently, they believe they estimate to be 125 billion different galaxies. 125 billion different galaxies. The next one to us is 2.5 million light years away. And I begin to think of how huge our God is. How amazing He is. That He can formulate all of this. And yet still love me. It blows my mind. How can you love me? I am nothing. I look how vast the universe is. I think it's a far trip to get to California. That's on the same coast. How vast. And yet He still loves me. What am I amazed by God? How He can love me. It says in Romans that God still died for you while you were still sinners. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. God loved you when your sin put Him on a cross. That's amazing to me. I can't even comprehend it. I can't even comprehend it. A couple years back, before I start crying, I'll go to another place. Here we go. Whew. A couple years back, I was at a house, and I was working, and what I was doing was, I don't want to bore you guys, so I'll go quick. I was changing out a spigot, right? The spigot was broken, I was changing out a spigot. And while I was doing it, I broke the line in the wall. And at this point, I just started my job. I didn't know how to, what we call sweat pipes. I didn't know how to do all this stuff, right? And so I'm like, oh no, this is a big deal. Like, I start to freak out a little bit. And it was right before lunch. And at this time, I had a lead, somebody that was in charge of me that didn't necessarily like me because he didn't know how awesome I was. That's fine, though. I had a lead that didn't necessarily like me, somebody that was in charge of me. He was my boss. And so I called him up, and it's like right before lunch. I call him up. I'm like, hey, I did this. I don't really know how to fix it. How do I fix it? He said, figure it out, and hung up on me. Oh, yeah. I was not agapeing right then. I was saying some other stuff. And so, Mother Hubbard. And so, that was who my boss was. And I was pretty upset. I was pretty mad. And so, I get what we call hangry. I learned that from Lindsay. It's when you get hungry, and so you get really angry. And so it's right around lunchtime, and I start to get seriously hangry, right? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea, and I'm just mad. I'm like, somebody needs to come help me out. I'm angry. Or bring me a sandwich or something, man. Like, I'm going down quick. My blood sugar, I'm wasting away. And so at this point, I'm upset. The guy that's supposed to help me, he doesn't come help me. And I get almost all the way through my lunch. And I had somebody else that was actually his boss. He just happened to notice that I wasn't at lunch yet. And they're like, where's Mike? Oh, he's still working on a job. And so he's like, okay. And he comes out to me. He says, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I tried Googling it. I have no idea. And with such patience, he's like, oh, okay, let me show you. And he showed me. And he just showed me how to do it. And he's like, why don't you go get some lunch? I'm going to finish this up. Oh, no, I can stay here. Because my mentality is, he's my boss's boss. He shouldn't be doing my work. This is my mistake. If I did it the right way, I wouldn't have broken this. He shouldn't be coming over here and fixing up my mess. He said, Mike, why don't you go get some lunch? I'll finish this up. No, I can stay till... No, Mike, you should just go get some lunch. I got this. And I remember being completely blown away. This isn't even technically your job. Why would you do it? Well, you've been here long enough. Let me get it. I'll fix it for you. And I feel that same way with God. Mike, I know you messed it up. I know you messed it up, but I got it. Let me go ahead and take care of it for you. And I was amazed. I was overwhelmed. I let me at least stay, because we think our works might justify it. Let me at least stay. No, Mike, I got it. Lord, let me at least do this for you. Lord, let me do this. Mike, I have it. And I was blown away. You're so high up here. Why would you come down here? Because you need help. In the same way, we can't save ourselves. We cannot redeem ourselves. We cannot fix our messes. We don't know how to do it. We could try Googling it. We could try getting some self-help books. But the best self-help book is your Bible. And as I begin to think of being amazed, you know, for me, the best illustration, the best way I could ever begin to understand who God was goes back to simplicity, John 3:16. For God so loved. Once again, it's that Greek word agape. For God so loved that he gave. It begins to paint this portrait of God looking down on his creation. How can I get them back? How can I get them back? It's amazing to me. And then God, being God, huge, massive, the creators of the heavens and the earth and all these galaxies and even California, he created all of it. And yet he could come and die on a cross for me. And let me begin to paint a portrait for you just a little bit. We're going to end in mere moments, I promise. God knowing, Jesus, knowing what he was going to go through. He knew it was going to be bad. They say he was stripped naked. In those times, naked was the ultimate shame. It indicates to us that he bore all of our shame. He took it all. He bore all of our pain. Why? This is my mess. Why would you try to fix my mess? Mike, no strings attached. I just love you. I just love you. And this is what we see at the cross. As they begin to nail him to a cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's love. Perfect, no strings attached love. Because you better believe I'd be cutting some strings at this point. Forget you guys. I'm the King of Kings. This is how you treat me. There's no strings attached. There's no strings attached to his perfect love. Because that's what love is. And if I could help you guys just with one thing, if you can't forgive your neighbor, if you can't see through the darkness, it's that mirror, Lord, it's just too dim. That water is just too, I can't see how you could love them. One day you will see. One day you will maybe comprehend how much God loves us. Can we just stand up? It's this perfect picture, John 3:16, of God just looking down on his children and saying, how can I get my children back? How can I get my loved ones back? This morning, I just want to talk to you about Jesus. That's what this is all about. It's just a silly message. I hope I made some of you guys laugh. I hope some of you guys had a good time. Why is this echoey? The presence of the Lord is strong. If you guys don't know, when you hear the Spirit, it's very echoey. But I hope I made some of you guys laugh. I hope I made some of you think. But what this is all about is Jesus. The person of Jesus, not the theology of Jesus, not the theory of Jesus, not some idea of Jesus, but the person of Jesus, who Jesus is, who Jesus was, who Jesus will always be, the person that is madly in love with each and every one of us. That's who Jesus is. It's not just some words on a page. It's not just some theory. It's not just some idolatry. It's not just something that we could think up or conjure up. It has nothing to do with nothing else but the person of Jesus Christ, who Jesus is. If we could all just bow our heads, I want to talk with Jesus one more time. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for this time. I thank you, Father, for you coming so powerfully in this place, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you could love me even while I was still a sinner. Even while my sins put you on a cross, Lord, you could still love me. Because there's no strings attached with your love, Jesus. There's no strings attached, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You're so amazing, Jesus. I can't even begin to thank you. I can't begin to work for your love, Jesus. I could be the best person, but still fall so short. Lord Jesus, I just want to accept it. I just want to accept your love. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, if there's anybody here this morning that you haven't made Jesus the Lord and the Savior of your life, right now, he's not the Lord and Savior of your life. You might have said the prayer as a child. You might have said it a couple years ago, but right now, He is not your Savior. He is not your Lord. Or maybe you've never said the prayer before. Jesus wants to know you. Jesus wants to encounter you this morning. Maybe you just thought, I was just going to come to another service. I'm going to do my good deed. I'm going to come to Sunday morning. Let me tell you, Jesus still wants to encounter you. Jesus wants to know you. If there's anybody here this morning, and right now Jesus isn't the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to pray with you. It's important. God wants to be with you. If there's anybody here this morning, and you could say that honestly, I need Jesus. We could all say that. But I need Jesus to reside in me. Can I just pray with you? Can you do me a favor? Can you just raise your hand so I know who I'm talking to? Is there anybody here this morning? You need to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Anybody at all this morning? Just do me a favor. Just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Let's get our lives right this morning. Anybody at all? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One more second. Anybody at all? Glory and honor be to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then finally, I want to give you guys an opportunity to respond to maybe what God talked to you this morning about. Something that God put on your heart. If there's anybody here this morning that you're dealing with unforgiveness, that you're dealing with pain, that you're dealing with maybe not loving that neighbor, maybe somebody that you used to be in a relationship with, you have unforgiveness. Maybe your parents. And you want to let that thing go this morning. And love like God loves. God wants to meet you. God wants to meet you. If there's anybody here this morning, you might be dealing with something, you might be struggling with something, I want to pray with you. Is there anybody at all? If you do me a favor, just raise your hand so I know who I'm talking to. I see that hand. I see all these hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? I see those hands. Anybody else this morning that needs to let go of something? Begin to make a decision to love Jesus, to love that person like Jesus loves us. I see all these hands going up. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Anybody else at all this morning? Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. If you could do me a favor, if you raised your hand, I want to talk with you. I want to pray with you. If you could do me a favor, if you raised your hand, just come on up front right now. Don't hesitate. Don't think twice. That's just your flesh trying to hinder you from getting something this morning. If there's anybody here this morning that raised your hand, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, and you just need to let go of some stuff at this altar, just come on up. We're going to pray with you. We're going to let these things go this morning. God's going to do a new work in this place this morning. For some of you, this is something that you thought might have been impossible. That you can never maybe get past this hurt and this pain. For some of you, you might have felt like this is going to go with me all the way to the grave. This morning, God's going to let go of some things. God's going to help you let go of some things in your life. People that you thought you might have never been able to forgive. People that you might thought you might be never able to love like God loves you. This morning, God's going to do something. God's going to do something. If I can get my wife to come up here and pray with me. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else at all this morning? Thank you, Jesus. What we're going to do is we're just going to go ahead and get into some worship. I'm going to begin to pray with these people. And if you guys want to just sit and worship with us, you're more than welcome to. If you want to come up and get some prayer, God wants to do something. But if not, we're just going to pray and you guys can go on your merry way. But let's love people. Amen. Let's love God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, Father, for these people. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to go out, they're going to be safe, and that they're going to have a good weekend, Father. And I thank you, Jesus, that everybody they come in contact with, Lord, that you begin to put and quicken in their heart, Lord, your perfect love, Jesus. We bless you, we thank you, in your mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.